I feel led to share this sermon, and the text is very familiar, and I'm sure I've preached on it before at least once. But somebody spoke to me this week about my particular problem, you know, with preaching and the breathing and everything, and they said, "Don't you feel the devil's got a hand in this somewhere? And isn't this a victory for the devil, you know, because he's kind of, you know, undermining the church and everything?" And I felt I'd like to just answer that tonight, because although it's a taboo subject, when the preacher struggles to breathe from the pulpit, I think it's something that everybody's thinking about. You can't help it. So I would like to first of all say, I do not believe the devil has any say in this matter. It's not a victory for the devil. And I'd like to read just a few verses of what was just read again, 7 to 10, verses 7 to 10. You'd probably know this very well. "To keep me from becoming conceited because of these surpassingly great revelations, there was given me a thorn in my flesh, a messenger of Satan," there's Satan, "a messenger of Satan to torment me. 3 times I pleaded with the Lord to take it away from me. But he said to me, 'My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses, so that Christ's power may rest on me. That is why, for Christ's sake, I delight in weaknesses, in insults, in hardships, in persecutions, in difficulties, for when I am weak, I am strong.'" Can we just pray? Father, we need to be rescued from familiarity when we consider this passage. So I pray you give us ears to hear these words as if we were hearing them for the first time. They're profound, they're liberating, and they're wonderfully true. And Lord, it could be that we are hardened to them simply because we have heard it so often. Please bless us, Holy Spirit, with the hearing of your word tonight, as if it was for the first time. Amen. There's a widely held teaching in many churches today that you are probably all aware of. And that teaching is that pain and suffering and sickness do not come from God, they come from the devil. Now you may say, "But isn't that true? What if I said only partly true?" There's a yes and a no answer to that. We need to understand what we mean when we say the devil is the cause of our problems. Is pain, sorrow, and suffering from the devil? Well, yes, in fact, we can see it plainly written in our text tonight. Look there again at the passage. We read that the thorn in Paul's flesh is called what? A messenger from Satan. Satan was involved in this infliction that Paul had. But when it comes to suffering, we need to be careful. There's a false teaching that's commonly known as the prosperity gospel. It's very popular. And let me warn you, there's even a Freeview television channel packed with this stuff. And what they basically teach, if you can cram it into a nutshell, is this. All good stuff comes from God. All the bad stuff comes from the devil. God gives health, wealth, prosperity, happiness. The devil brings sickness, poverty, misery. They sort of see life as a yin and a yang, you know, the contrast between the positive and the negative forces. And they say, if you're healthy and rich, woo, that's God. God is in your life. If you're not healthy, if you're unwell and poverty stricken, somehow they say, the devil's got you. Now, this teaching is not only incorrect, it's heretical, it's downright deception, it's a lie. And it's not clearly what the Bible teaches. And tonight, as I said, I really feel that I'd like to bring up this issue. I think you all know I have a struggle at the moment that I've had almost 5 years to the day. It was on harvest 5 years ago when it started. And I feel I need to make one thing clear about what I've put you through in the past 5 years. I want to say, first of all, I do not see the devil's hand in this at all. And I believe God somehow is glorified in the affliction. And I'm going to show you from this text what I mean. So let's consider Paul in the text. He has what is called a thorn in his flesh. The first thing we notice here is that this is not psychological. This is a physical problem that he has. It's a thorn in his flesh. That's sarki autu. It's in his fleshly being. He has a bodily affliction. Now, scholars have debated what this thorn was. Some people suggest it was blindness. He never recovered his sight completely from the time he was dazzled on the road to Damascus. We know he makes references to his eyes a number of times. Could have been that. Some people suggest because poor old Paul had been so maltreated and beaten so many times that in later life he suffered from terrible arthritis and all sorts of groats and pains. He had a physical ailment. And he calls this ailment a thorn in his flesh. Now that might be a bit deceptive. The Greek word for thorn here is scallops. You can look it up yourself. Scallops. Don't think this word means an irritating little prick in the finger, like a thorn in a rose bush. A scallops is a stake. People were impaled on a scallops. Paul here has a serious, very disturbing physical affliction that's truly hurting him. He's not just having a little prick in his finger. Oh, that was a thorn. No, this is an agonizing problem he's facing. And yes, he tells us that this scallops, this agonizing thorn, comes from Satan. It's a messenger of Satan that brought this pain on his life. But notice, he puts this thorn in a certain way. It's a thorn in his flesh given. Notice, the messenger is a message from Satan, but there's a higher authority here. Do you notice that the messenger of Satan has been given? He looks beyond Satan's messenger to something that gave him, in the first place, this thorn. So we mustn't shoot the messenger here. Who was it that gave Paul this thorn in his flesh? And why was the thorn given? Well, surely you realize it was God. God gave Paul this scallops, this thorn, and we're told here that it was given for a very good reason. Paul had this thorn, we read, if you look at the text, to keep him from becoming conceited. Here was a man that had seen heaven. He knew stuff that nobody else knew. He could have lauded it over everybody, and God brings him down a peg or 5,000 or something and gives him this physical affliction. Paul tells us in verse 10 that this affliction had actually made him strong in the Lord. Somehow, he says here, when I am weak, I am strong. It was a messenger from Satan, but somehow God is allowing this to happen for a good reason. It strengthened me in the Christian way. And it's brought me down from my arrogance. You see, Paul's thorn may have come as a messenger of Satan, but the devil Well, the devil did have a hand in his suffering. The devil obviously maliciously wanted to hurt Paul. But it only happened because God willed it and allowed it to happen. You see, Satan, for all his evil intentions, can do nothing to God's people at all without God's permission. In fact, if you want proof of that, how many of you remember the story of Job? You know that cheerful story? Job? Well, it was the devil who smote Job with sores, wiped out his family, destroyed his livelihood. That was the work of the devil. But the devil had to ask God permission to do it and was only given permission to do so much and no more. It was God who ultimately gave Satan leave to do what he did to Job. In fact, even Job himself realizes this. Remember when Job got the terrible news in chapter 1 about his family being wiped out and his business being flattened? What does he say? The Lord has given and the devil's taken it away. No, the Lord has given and the Lord has taken. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Job sees God as the final cause behind all his pain, not the devil. He looks right past the messenger boy and sees God behind it. Jesus told Peter in the Gospels that Satan had asked God to sift the apostles as wheat. Satan has to approach God for anything he does because he is a creature. In fact, John Bunyan said that Satan is like a dog on a leash. Yes, he's mean, he's vicious, he wants to destroy, but he can only go as far as the leash of God's providence allows. God is sovereign. In fact, listen to these words of God in Isaiah 45, verse 7. This is God speaking, Jehovah. I, the Lord, form the light and create darkness. I bring prosperity and create disaster. I, the Lord, do all these things. That word create in the Hebrew here is bara. In other words, he brings it to pass. It's not just that he takes it and molds it to the good. He's the one that made it happen. That's not very good for the prosperity teachers, is it? The devil hasn't got much to do here apart from play a lackey. And many people are guilty of giving Satan more glory than he deserves. Satan can do nothing without God's permission. And whenever God allows Satan to work on his chosen people, he always has a good reason for doing it, like we see in our text tonight. Paul had some terrible physical ailment. He calls it a thorn in his flesh. And he begs God 3 times to take this thorn, this affliction away from him. Paul's a man who raised the dead. He performed signs and wonders and miracles, but his own little prayer for healing doesn't get answered. You see, God, we read, had a very good reason why Paul suffered the way he did, and why he allowed Satan to afflict him. And Paul ends up here praising God for the thorn that he's been given. Look, he rejoices that this is the work of God for his own good. Paul's thorn here is not a satanic victory, but a holy, sanctifying blessing. Paul's thorn, he says here, he admits, keeps him humble and teaches him to depend upon the power of God and makes him strong in his weakness, depending on the strength of God. That's what the text says. Yes, the devil's attacked him, but God's behind it. Now, why do we need to know this passage? What's it got to do with us? I know that every one of you here tonight, young and old, you've either got a scallops in your life, you've got a thorn in your flesh, or you will have, believe you me, one of these days you'll get a thorn. How are you going to cope when something hits you that you can do nothing about and you feel absolutely ridiculously helpless about it? Are we to conclude that God has abandoned us and turned his back on us? Are we to conclude that Satan's had the victory and he's won us and he's giggling and, you know, he's defeated? Well, not if we believe in Romans 8:28. God works all things, that means even painful things, ultimately for the good of those who love him. And I want you to think about this, especially the older people. Would you be the person you are tonight if you hadn't gone through the pains and trials and valleys that you've gone through? I'm a coward when it comes to pain, but I have to admit most of my learning in life, Christian-wise, has been in the hard times. It's in those times when I've been afflicted, or maybe Satan did afflict me by God's permission, when I've had to cry out and learn Christian dependence. We need to realize that everything God does, he does for his glorious grace. And that means even the thorns he puts in our life. It's hard, isn't it? But we need to trust him. Now I thought, I'll inflict a song on you. And not only am I inflicting a song on you, it's a song I've done 3 times before in this church. But I was given this new guitar and I just dined to try it out here. Please listen to the words of this song because it pretty much is what we all need to sing as Christians. I've had many tears and sorrows. I've had questions about tomorrow. There are times I didn't know right from wrong. But in every situation, Jesus gave me consolation. Trials come to make me strong. I've been in many places, and I've seen so many faces. There were times I felt so all alone. But in my lonely hours, those precious lonely hours, Jesus let me know where I belong. Through it all, he's been with me through it all. I've learned to trust in Jesus, learned to trust in God. Through it all, he's been with me through it all. I've learned to depend upon his word. I thank God for the valleys, thank him for the mountains, I thank him for the storms he's brought me through. For if I never had a problem, how would I know if Jesus could solve it? I'd never know what faith in God could do. Through it all, he's been with me through it all. I've learned to trust in Jesus, learned to trust in God. Through it all, he's been with me through it all. I've learned to depend upon his word. Amen. Should we just pray? Father, no matter what we face, no matter what we may yet face, may we see the sovereign hand of God in all, And may we know, if God is for us, who can be against us? Help us to look to you through it all, in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to sing a hymn before communion. And I can't remember what it was. Oh, here it is. Yes, thank you. When peace like a river attends my way. Listen, because of the communion, shall we do verses 1, 2, and 5? 1, 2, and 5 of verses 1.